Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope.
So here we are. It is 10 p.m. on a weeknight. Jared and I are back with our first duo.
Yeah.
Winter movie binge. That's what you've given this.
The winter film binge.
Winter film binge. I'm sorry. And it kicked off with a bang. If you were following our tweets, which I know three of you are.
Yes.
Jared teased that we would be seeing the classic adaptation of, I don't even know who did Les Mis.
I believe it's Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yes.
Did Les Miserables, as it was introduced. to us by the
she had quite the command of the language.
By the movie studio attaché.
Yes.
It's all going to be French today. So, Jared,
okay.
Tell
let
me.
Let me get this croissant out of the way.
So tell me, Jared,
yes.
Who stars in this movie?
Well, this film adaptation, directed by Tom Hooper, which you may remember from The King's Speech last year. You've got Huggy Jackman.
As our good friend Crazy Earl.
In the lead role of Jean Valjean.
Jean Valjean.
You've got, what's her name? Totally blanking on her name now.
Anne Hathaway.
Right, Anne Hathaway as in Fantine. And those are the last two names I'm going to give out because I don't remember the rest of the character names. Russell Crowe as the lead bad guy, I guess, mm-hmm. or the gentleman of the law who is pursuing Jean Valjean throughout the film.
And he sings like a bit of a pussy.
you have Amanda Seyfried as the adult Cosette.
She's got eyes as large as plates.
And as in your comic relief, you have your Sacha Baron Cohen and your Helena Bonham Carter.
Who sang just like Adam Sandler as Opera Man.
as Shade is alluding to, if you're not familiar with the production, 99.5% of the dialogue is sung.
The trappings of the play is nothing but song. And I'm very serious, but yet I will sing.
Okay, we get the point.
It is driving me crazy, Jared.
So anyway, it's I'm not going to go into the whole story, but essentially it's the story of Jean Valjean, who's a prisoner, who gets paroled and then jumps parole to start a new life. And it's kind of his redemption tale. And he ends up taking in the child, Cosette, who is the daughter of Fantine, who dies. I'm assuming she's ill or
quickly
something.
Whores herself out.
Yeah, because
cuts
she's...
Cuts off her hair, pulls out her teeth.
Yeah. And then...
Typical Anne Hathaway,
blah, blah, blah. The there's something about some rebellion in Paris, and then the end. I don't know. I mean, really? What do you get? That's the story. I mean, if you don't know the story, then I don't... Whatever. I don't know the story going into it either. So
you have to come at this maybe from two angles.
Okay.
One from a theater angle.
Yes.
And then one as entertainment as film.
This is a filmic adaptation, but it's still very theatrical in that they're apparently, I'm guessing, true to the source material in that everything is sung.
Yeah.
Everything.
Except for about 25 words.
Yeah, it's... And
it's a three-hour movie, practically.
And look, if that's your thing, then go with it. I don't know. Where do we want to start with this?
Okay, so let's
we talk about the good stuff?
Let's start at it from the theater adaptation.
Okay.
So, I know people that love Les Mis.
Yep.
I mean, people that just get their rocks off on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you if the play is anything like the movie, which my guess is it would be exactly like the movie.
Although confined to a smaller space.
I would hate it.
Okay.
I would hate it. I think that in theater, oftentimes, especially with musicals, you can have very limited character development.
Yeah.
You can have plots that have to move quickly because everything is done in song.
Why didn't that happen in this movie?
Well,
the plot part.
but it did, though. It went quickly, but it was so
honestly,
long.
I mean, we are covering, 20-some years of
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I mean, it
so.
Was like, okay, like the first scenes of the movie, it was 5 minutes in, and then all of a sudden they jumped 9 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's very
quick.
Exactly.
And they really don't explain motivation, at least within the movie, in terms of the play.
There's very broad themes. I mean, it is a redemption tale, and it's...
Sure.
Whatever, you know? The guy has done something wrong in his life, and he pays his debt, and somehow comes out on top, I guess.
Well,
I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. What he did was he stole bread.
Yes.
He tried to escape.
Yes.
After he went on his main crime is
stealing bread. Right. Five years for that.
After he went on, he tried to escape. That was another
tacked on another for 15.
Another
years.
15 years.
He got paroled at 19 years.
And then he disappeared.
And he disappeared.
But then when he disappeared, it wasn't like he was out banging hookers and doing blow.
No.
He bettered his community. He became was he mayor of the town that he was
mayor
in?
Of the town. He was a business owner providing for people. I think he's probably had redeemed himself.
Yeah, I think redemption has been done.
But then, yeah, well, we're getting into the whole story, which we don't need to do.
But at any rate, so
events happen that where he feels obligated to take in Cosette, and
he does. But I mean, his whole life, he's got this guilt for stealing bread.
Yeah,
I mean, at the end, he dies for what? Why did he die? I mean, he clearly had the choice to do what he wanted to do, and he chose death over. Whatever, like he died of a broken heart. Why?
He felt like his purpose in life had been fulfilled.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it. It's not meant to be realistic.
Yeah, I understand that, but okay. It was not satisfying to me. It was not clear to me.
Fair.
It didn't work for me.
That's all right. I'm not going to say sit here and defend the story because it has problems, in my opinion.
If you do, you must do it in song.
I'm not going to go down that road. So let's talk about the songs.
So, but we're
the singing. Well, go ahead.
So we sort of have that, yes. And then you lump on top of it the everything done in song.
Yes,
and it's really they only have, if you think about it, maybe two or three big production numbers, like what you would expect a musical to have,
right? And the
like
songs you know,
yeah, and then everything else is sort of talking. Singing.
It's like, a lot of inner monologue stuff that is song. Yeah. Because it's happening around other people and they don't seem to pay any attention to it.
It sounds like something I would do on my free time. You're like, hey, I'm driving my car down the road. There's no melody. There's no rhyme or reason.
Yeah.
They're just, you know what I mean? It's just they're sort of like singing. They're doing sing-song just to do sing-song. And I understand that's theater and I get it.
It comes across very weird and affected, especially when it's divorced from the traditional setting where that sort of stuff takes place and it's kind of maybe accepted a little bit more. When you're sitting in a movie theater and the characters are on screen and their faces, because everything's done in close-up in this film, their faces are 30 feet tall and they're singing everything and it seems really, really strange.
It's forced.
And if you're familiar with the play, you've seen it before, then you're going to be fine with it, I'm sure. But those who haven't and are not really comfortable with that sort of performance style, it comes off as very distracting and frustrating.
Yeah.
You long for... This is where I had a problem. I liked a lot of the songs.
Sure.
By themselves.
Sure. Performed well.
Yeah, they were very, very well. Some of them even very, very touching and very moving. But the problem is that everything in between is sung too, that when you get to one of those songs, to me, the impact is completely lost.
It's almost jokey.
Yeah.
It's almost a farce.
I feel like you need to have moments where it's just where you can kind of reset yourself and be normal. Just have a normal conversation with these characters and you never get that.
I think that I probably would have liked the movie twice as much if they would have just stopped to talk.
I think that
I would have been able to deal with it more. The outrageousness of, you know, people just breaking into song. I mean, it's like a barrier that you have to get over anyway because you're watching a musical.
Absolutely.
So it has to be so good for you to get over that. And they just never let you. They never let you get to that point.
It's too much work for your brain to try to sit there and try to parse what they're saying because you're also. It's all in song and in rhyming, and you just want a human
or barely rhyming sometimes, barely song. It just didn't feel natural in the movie. It didn't feel natural as a musical trapping, and maybe that's just the way the play is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if it is, I would hate it. I would hate it, even on a smaller stage.
I mean, we've seen a lot of mockery of musicals in that basically do exactly this, where all the dialogue is sung, and you think, oh, there's no way that it's actually like that. But guess what? It is.
Yeah,
it's absolutely like that.
A certain radio DJ has a bit where he just breaks into Broadway song, and I always thought it was a joke.
Yeah, it's like,
but this is exactly what it was, and I couldn't get over that because he's right on the money.
It seemed absurd.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know.
It just doesn't work in film. Maybe in theater it's more accepted, and I'm sure people are you know, that are into theater are going to listen to this and tell us we're crazy.
If, but, if you can't tell, we're frustrated, and but we're not also not the primary audience for this type of film. So couch all of our comments inside that, because if you are a fan of this, again, I say you will probably like this movie.
Yes.
Probably a lot.
Yeah, I mean, so we can talk about it. Visually impressive.
Absolutely. I was a little annoyed with some of the extended shots. It felt like there were so many of them that none of them had impact anymore.
Sure.
You know, and everything was, like I said, a lot of things were done in close-up. Some scenes really, really deserved it, like Fantine when she's singing her big number. The song everyone knows, Susan Boyle.
Sorry, not worthy of supporting actress nomination for Oscar. I mean, I think it was good, but I think the rest of it for me...
I might disagree with you on that. I think her performance is fantastic. Anyway, her scene in close-up, for me, that was the moment of the film.
And it happened.
And then she's
dead.
She checks out, and like I didn't know that was going to happen.
No.
And I got to say, honestly, when she checked out, I was like, I was out of the film for probably another 40 minutes at least, because I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do we bring this back?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the first 40 minutes was decent, and then I think it finished strongly, and then I think the whole stuff in the middle with the rebellion and everything was just incidental.
It gives color to the story, but it doesn't advance any of the story, other than bring in a character for the young girl to marry, essentially, is what it does.
It seemed like it was all way too much and just not that interesting, honestly.
It was anathema to the story, Jared.
There you go.
To me, the first 40 minutes were, I was in it-ish.
Yeah.
But the first 40 minutes felt like about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then it was like, after she died, I looked at my watch and I'm like, holy shit, we've got 2 hours left of this. What are we going
to
do here?
Yeah, we don't have an Anne Hathaway to look at.
Yeah.
I mean, disappointing.
It was tough. So let's briefly try to talk about the actors beyond Anne Hathaway. I think Russell Crowe was in way over his head.
Think so?
I didn't buy him at all. Hmm. I mean, I bought him as a tough guy, but then when he started singing, I just don't think he didn't affect power. Or he didn't present power to me in his singing.
I think he had moments of singing that were authentic and good, but yeah, it felt like he gave a serviceable performance, but he certainly didn't have the emotional range in while singing that Hugh Jackman had or that Anne Hathaway had.
I also think that his character arc was almost as confusing to me as Hugh Jackman. Like, what's going on here? Why is he acting the way he
so
is?
He's
Why would he do what he did at the end to finish himself off?
Yeah, he's single-minded throughout of tracking down Jean Valjean.
I like
and
how you say that.
Bringing him to justice. And then there's a scene where Hugh Jackman has a chance to take out his revenge on him, and he decides instead to set him free.
Yeah.
And no strings attached, whatever. And then shortly thereafter, I don't forget his name, but Russell Crowe's character. Gladiator is there. he has a chance. He catches up with Hugh Jackman again and has a chance to finally capture his prey, and he can't do it.
Yeah.
And he basically sings a song about how, even though he
let him live, he's dead anyway.
Yeah, he gave him his life, but he's dead anyway, and then he jumps off a bridge.
And made one of the ugliest sounds ever upon landing on the aqueduct.
To me, that was we're gonna make sure that he didn't just fall in the water and escape somewhere. We're gonna make sure the audience knows he's gone. He's exited the picture.
It sounded like when Jared grabs a head of cabbage and rips it with his hands.
This is a daily routine for me.
Hugh Jackman. It seems to me like you probably liked him better than I did.
I thought Hugh Jackman was fantastic.
I think Hugh Jackman is terrific. I think theater's his game, but I've often found his singing in this to be grating, especially his sing-song, talky song.
Yeah, but I think that's what this film is.
Maybe.
And I don't think he was doing anything wrong. I just think that's how things are in this particular world, and you didn't like that.
I hate this world.
I didn't like it that much either, but I think Hugh Jackman gave a great performance.
Okay,
I was convinced. I thought his emotions were genuine. I don't know. That's what I think. I think Anne Hathaway was fantastic, too. Whether or not she deserves an Oscar is another story, but I don't know. You were taken?
I was taken.
I was, when she was on screen, I was riveted. That's to say, but she's not on the screen very much.
Get a room.
Honestly.
Get a room. So, yeah, the other actors are not really noteworthy.
But you have, I mean, I guess the only other noteworthy ones is, there's whoever Marius is, that's the male supporting lead who ends up hooking up with Cosette. I don't know who that is, so I can't remember.
He seemed almost extraneous to the plot, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, it was just, you know, you got to have a boy for the girl, I guess.
Yeah.
The other, we talked about him, the comedy relief.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
The BCs, your Baron Cohen and your Bonham Carter.
Yeah. I found it uncomfortable, if you want to know.
What?
It was uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable. I understand that they're the comic relief, and they're there to sort of, you know, give us some levity, but everything else in the story is so heavy and so serious that the levity that they tried to do just felt way too far the other way.
It was creepy and wrong, and like I said, Sasha was channeling Adam Sandler from time to time.
Yes.
And it was I love Sasha Baron Cohen, but boy, I didn't necessarily agree with that particular acting choice.
And he did something in their first musical number that sort of shone light on one of the problems when you're doing a period piece in France, in that he actually was performing the song with a bit of a French accent.
Yeah.
And that was really the only person in the entire film who had made any attempt at it. And when he wasn't singing and he was speaking normally, he didn't have the
French
accent.
He was like a Cockney accent.
It's in France! At least try to do a French accent.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's just weird.
Didn't get it. So,
So we shit all over the film.
Yeah. I think I'll take a bigger dump than you. So, I suppose at this point we should give this bad boy a star rating, a scope rating.
Yes.
The scope score is 1 star.
So let's give it 1 scope star.
Look, I've said it a couple times, I'll say it again. If this is your thing, you will probably like this film. It's clearly not our thing.
No.
But I'll say this. Les Miserables is kind of a cultural touchstone.
Sure.
And from that perspective, I'm happy to have at least... Now I've seen it and I know what it's about. I know it's not for me.
And you never, ever have to deal with it again.
But I feel like I can check that off of my cultural checklist and say, yep, took care of that one. I know the references now. When people talk about the songs or the characters, I go, at least I know what that is. So,
for me, it finally crystallizes Susan Boyle's big hit song, because that was from this movie. So now I finally know what Susan Boyle was yapping about.
I'm not sure that she had quite the life experience to really sing that, but okay.
So there you go. The
Winter film binge. Hashtag winter film binge.
It's on fire. We'll have more movies for you coming soon. Hey guys, there's got to be more movies out there besides musicals for us to see.
Yep. No more of those, please.
None. So there we go. Let's wrap this thing up. It's late. We got a busy week ahead of us, Jared.
Right on.
Over and out, Scope listeners.
We didn't do our sign off, but that's all right.
Oh. Well, we could still do it. Let's do it. We didn't do our sign off. For Jared, this is Shane.
And this is Jared.
Scope listeners, over and out.
For Adam.
For Adam.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.